Blog Talk Radio.
Angelique Lawrence coming with you, another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find out truth in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now listen, we need you to go to blogtalkradio.com. If you're listening through Blog Talk Radio, that's excellent. But press the follow button. That way, when we have new episodes, you'll be able to be firsthand to hear them. Amen. Also, at the bottom, hallelujah, of the page on Blog Talk Radio Truth Finders, you can leave your comments and your questions. You can also press 1 if you listen to the live show for live questions and comments. And if we have time available, we'll certainly get to that. So listen, go grab your pen and your paper and your Bible, and we're going to get ready to dig deep into, hallelujah, the Bible study on today. And why are you doing that? Amen. I know I've been saying beginning at every show about this being a season for us to go out and show the love of God. And so I want to start, hallelujah, highlighting the local community services. Amen. We know we have Feed America and the national ones, but let's do the local ones. And so today I want to highlight the Clifton P. Lewis Foundation on the west side of Chicago. You can go to www.livelifeunbreakable.com. You could go in, you could purchase items that go directly to the foundation, or if you have donations like food and clothes, and especially stuff for children, because I know they support a lot of single parents and women's shelters. Amen. You can contact them through their website and send them things. They'll even come pick up. Amen. And they are 501c3 organization that's helping the community one person at a time. Amen. And so by this time, you should have your pen and your paper. Let's get to it. Let's start off with the prayer. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. On today, Lord God, help me decrease and you increase, Lord God, because we know it's not by might or power, but it's by your Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So, Holy Spirit, you fall fresh. You teach us what you need us to know, Lord God, because you're the God that's able to do it, Lord God. You're the God that comes in and give us what we need when we need it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're teaching us, Lord God, hallelujah, that you're enlightening us, Lord God, that you're opening up our understanding to your word and who you are, Lord God, in this season in the name of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you touch us, touch your people, Lord God, touch their minds right now, Lord God, touch their homes, Lord God, give them peace in the inward parts, Lord God, those hindering and distraction spirits that keep trying to come, Lord God, to keep them from spending time with you, Lord God. We bind right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you take over, Lord God, because in you is light, in you is, hallelujah, is light, and in you there is life and that more abundantly, Lord God. So we bless you on this morning, Lord God, hallelujah. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, fellow truth finders, hallelujah. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Truth Finders. This is our final episode for this season one, amen. And so we're going to pick back up in January with season two, and this is going to be just as powerful. But I admonish you to go back and listen to some of the old episodes. We have one on hope. We have Speak to It. We have What Did Jesus Come to Do? It's many different, hallelujah, episodes that I think will bless you. They blessed me when God gave them to me, and that's why I gave them to you, amen. And so you can go through and you can listen to those. And I know our challenge for this month was to go in, and if you find scriptures that line up with what we were teaching, put them in the comment section so other truth finders can add them to their arsenal when they go in to study. Now listen, we usually do a little quick review of what we talked about last time. So last time we talked about defeating bitterness. Amen. And we found out that a lot of people are walking in bitterness and don't even understand it, don't even know they have bitterness. A root of unforgiveness. One little seed of unforgiveness can turn into a root of bitterness, and it takes over your whole heart and it takes over your whole life. And so last time we talked about how do I defeat that? I don't want that taking over my life. I don't want to walk around, hallelujah, unhappy, no joy, because my inability to let loose people and let them go. And so we talked about loosing people quickly and how the Bible tells us if you loose them quickly, the devil doesn't have access to get in and start destroying things in your life. If you close the door to the adversary and forgive and repent and turn, God will do some awesome things. Amen. And so let us get into what we're talking about this week. So God gave me this. He said, good grief. And so today we're going to talk about good grief, and we're going to start at Job. Job chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And it says, now when Job's three friends heard of all his evils, amen, I'm sorry, Job chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, everyone from his own place, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. Oh, the names, y'all. But they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they had lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one of his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. And so we, most of us, know the story of Job. And how God, hallelujah, allowed the adversary to sift things out of his life that God may get the glory. And that's the gist of the story. But the thing is, we have to understand that when it first happened, hallelujah, Job went through grief. He didn't understand. Until God revealed it to him, he didn't understand. And so we see here that he's sitting here, and in verse 13 it says, but they saw this, that grief was very great. And so when we look at grief, because I think a lot of times God explained something to me that I didn't even understand, amen? So let's look at the definitions of grief, and we're going to go into it. It's a deep, sorrowful, especially that caused by someone's death. It's the acute pain that accompanies loss. It is a reflection of what we love and can feel all-encompassing. It's not limited to the loss of people. And so when we see here, when our society now looks at grief, they feel that you only grieve when someone dies. But here's the thing. Grief doesn't have to, and let me say this, and I'll say this after that. Grief serves a purpose. And the Holy Ghost led this to me. He said, grief serves a purpose. It's a process of healing that God allows for your soul. When we don't grieve, our soul becomes fractured and eventually broken. And so when we see this, hallelujah, a lot of times we encounter people in our lives and we don't understand why it's like they're always sorrowful. They're always sad. And God is saying they're grieving. And the grief doesn't have to come from a death of somebody. It can come from a death of a marriage. It could come from the depth of a relationship with someone they love. The thing about grief is when you're separated from something or somebody that you love and it encompasses you, what it does is it puts a sorrowful feel. It affects you because it's a heart matter. Your heart, hallelujah, your heart mind controls everything in your life. So it's a heart matter. Let's go over to Genesis. Genesis, hallelujah, chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Amen. Let's go over there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35 for you. And it says, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave until my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And so here Jacob should have grieved, but the problem that Jacob had was his intentions was to grieve to the grave. That's not how God wants us to grieve. There is no timetable to the feeling of pain and suffering, hallelujah, after loss, nor is it impossible to avoid suffering together. When we lose things, when things, hallelujah, are taken from us and we grieve, there's no set way for us to do it. But God does not intend for us to grieve forever. Here's what people got it. Well, when they lose a child, when they lose a loved one, when they lose a parent, a lot of times people go into grief and they stay there. Hallelujah, their hearts become sorrowful. They keep looking back. They keep playing back. What happened? What happened? What's going on? Why did this happen to me? And what happens is we get stuck in that place. And so what happened is we can't move forward in life because we know that we love the person. We know we're never going to see the person in a physical death, and even in a death when it comes with a friendship or when it comes, hallelujah, with a marriage. We know that that marriage is not getting back together. And so our mind, the adversary comes in, and he plays that thing over and over and over again to keep us held down, to keep us burdened down, to keep our hearts from opening up and letting God come in and to let us receive the things that God wants to do in our life. Like we just read with Jacob, we know the story of Joseph, amen, where his brother sold him off into, hallelujah, slavery and told the father that he was killed. And Joseph said, I'm going to mourn my son to my death, but that's not the will of God concerning you. As sure as we live, that we're going to die. Hallelujah. Everybody on this earth, as sure as they live, they're surely going to die. And so God said, I didn't, hallelujah, this is not how the life that I have concerning you. It's okay for you to grieve. He said, I gave you that grief so your soul can be healed. That attachment, that bond that you had with that person, the hallelujah, those things, hallelujah, those soul ties that you had, it's going to hurt. It's going to be, hallelujah, it's going to be like a wound. It's going to be like a tearing. You're going to have to go through that process. But God says, hallelujah, go through the process. Just get through the process. Hallelujah. Don't let that destroy you. I made you for a purpose. I made you for a reason. And if I take somebody out of your life, it does not stop who I made you to be or what I called you to do. And we have to remember this as saints of God. We let so many events in our lives stop us from going forward in Christ Jesus. And then we get on a hamster wheel and we're going over and around and around in circles, never seeing the manifestation of God's glory in our life, never seeing things get better in our life, never having the mind heart set, never, hallelujah, experience the abundant life that Jesus promised us. We get to that point in life where we can't do that because we hold on to that grief. And I want to give you something. There are 7 steps to get through good grief. Hallelujah. That's what God said. There's a good grief. Hallelujah. Grief is not a bad thing. This is something that God allows. He said, but there's some steps that you got to go through. You have to get through this. This is the process I put in place so your soul can be healed, your soulish man. Hallelujah. The part that's not your spirit that is created in God's likeness and each but in his image, but the soul, hallelujah, the soul man that's wrapped up in your flesh. You have to get through it. Hallelujah. You have to get through this because the battle is for your soul. You and the adversary and God is fighting for your soul. And so God said, if you can keep your soul healed, it can attach itself to the spirit man, and it can grow into the things God calling it to. And when at the end of this journey, you can see your father, the maker, hallelujah, the one who made you in his likeness and image. And so there are 7 steps that we need to look at when we're grieving. First, shock. You get so upset. Oh, my God, why did this happen? The second step is guilt. Could I have done more? We've all been there, especially with a parent or something that could I have done more, or a friend. Could have reached out? Could I call more? We do that. We go through that. But that's a process we have to go through. And no matter how many times people say there's nothing more you could have done, we still go through that. But that's still a natural part of the process. So first we went through shock. Next we go to guilt. Then we go through anger. Lord, why? Why did you take my son? Why did you take my daughter? Why did you, hallelujah, break up my marriage? Why, hallelujah, why did you take my parents from me? We go through that thing, and that's okay. That's part of the healing process. You got to get through that. The soul has to work that stuff out in them. Because because a lot of times we just don't understand. And what happens is when we, like I said earlier, when it reflects what we love. And when we love, hallelujah, and since God is love, you hold on to things. You attach your things to things. You attach yourself to people and things, hallelujah. The things of people is what I'm talking about. You attach yourself to the people. And so when God takes that away in your heart's mind, you don't understand. Because what happens is we're working in an emotional area because we're talking about our soulless realm here. It's an emotional part, hallelujah, that gets attacked, that gets injured. And so God say, I put this in place so that doesn't take you out of the spirit that I made, spirit man I made you to be. So first we said it's shock, two is guilt, then we go through anger. Then the fourth step is depression. You can't go on anymore. You don't understand why. And this is your soulish man trying to work out an understanding of something that God did in your life. And we know a carnal man can't understand nothing from God, hallelujah. And so you're never going to understand in that area. But God said, I have to move it from the soulish realm to the spiritual side, to your spirit man. And so, hallelujah, why God is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, dealing with the soul man and working this thing out of the soul man, the soul goes through shock. So, hallelujah, the soul goes through guilt. The soul goes through anger. The soul goes through depression. But then your spirit man steps in. And then the fifth stage is the upward turn. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. God must have had a reason, a purpose for taking that person away from me. Then step six is the reconstruction and the working through. Now the upward turn, once you come out of the depressed state, and that's all the first four steps is all the soulless realm, now your spirit man checks in. He said, wait a minute. Number five, I may not understand, but all things are working together for the good of them that love God are called according to his purpose. Then the sixth step with reconstruction, you start to build your life. The spirit man starts to come to heal your soulish man and say, look, that happened. God knew that was going to happen. God allowed that to happen. And I don't understand it, but nevertheless, I trust God in it. Hallelujah and hallelujah. And that's hallelujah. That's when God kicks in and says, okay, I let the soulless man sit there and do what he had to do to get through it. So now it moved from that to the spirit side. And he said, look, hallelujah, now I got the upward turns. Wait a minute, I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. He starts to build you back up, step six. And step seven said, acceptance and hope. Now I'm back to hope. I accept what happened. I accept the death that happened. I accept the marriage broke up. I accept that a friend or a loved one left me. I accept, hallelujah, that relationship is over. But now I have hope. That was in the past. Now I'm going to go for it in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to get to that expected end that he told me about in Jeremiah 29 and 11. Now I'm going to serve God and do what God called me to do. And so when you look at this thing, hallelujah, you look at the process, God is so awesome. Everything he does is perfect. And it's working for our good, everything he does. And so with hallelujah, so what he told, hallelujah, when we were going through this grief, he said, there's a good grief. Because I use that process, hallelujah, to hallelujah. Because what's happening is through that process, the soulish man is decreasing and your spiritual man is increasing. And although you don't understand when and why it happened, you get to a point, it doesn't matter why it happened, because God did it. All things work together for the good of them that love God and call according to his purpose. God allowed it. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. All power belongs to God. And so if God allowed it to happen, it wasn't to crush you. It wasn't to destroy you. It was to make you stronger. But you got to get through the process. You can't, hallelujah, hallelujah, you got to get through the process. You got to let God work it through you and in you and by you. You got to let God, hallelujah, you need to step back because a lot of times, especially as women, and especially as African-American women, we just take it and keep going. We don't stop. We don't grieve. We just keep going. And what happens is we hit a brick wall. We hit a wall. Then we can't go on, and we don't understand what happened. Because we have to deal with it. God put that in place. Take the time. Hallelujah. When we look at the Bible, when people died or when widow husbands died, they went through an era of mourning. Hallelujah. They mourned. That was a period of grief where God could set them back and speak to their spirit, where God can say, I understand this hurts, but this hurt ain't going to last forever. Let me work it out of you. This is something that can't happen overnight. You can't wake up one day and then it's all gone. God said, I got to work this out because you loved it. And it was, hallelujah, it was tied to your soul. It was knitted together with your soul. That person was knitted together with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But now I got to work it out of you. Let me heal you. Open up your heart so I can heal you. Get through the process. When we attempt to suppress it and deny grief, it prolongs the healing process. If so many people are still grieved over things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that's how people, hallelujah, people get on drugs and they kill themselves from old days because they're trying to get rid of that pain or they're trying, hallelujah, to get past it. But God says, don't prolong it, hallelujah, grieve immediately. Go in, settle your spirit, go back and just hit, let me heal you. Go through those, let those emotions come up. Let those, go through those emotional things, those little emotional roller coasters. Because once you get past that fourth stage, now I'm going to kick in and I'm going to take over. I'm going to take it up. I'm going to heal your soul, man, and I'm going to bring you up. So your question here is right now, how do we get through it? You have to give it to Jesus. And it might not, it's not going to happen immediately, but you got to start somewhere. Give it to Jesus. God, I'm grieving. I don't understand. I'm angry, Lord God. I'm shocked. I'm hurt. Why did you do this? Why is this happening to me? Let's look at Isaiah 53 and 4. Isaiah 53 and 4. Amen. Saints, I hope you're getting it. I know this is not a shout, hallelujah, or encouragement, but here at Truth Finders, we come together so we can find our victory in Christ Jesus. And we can't find our victory if we don't know what's holding us back. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes in and he teaches us and he guides us and he takes us to that next place. Hallelujah. And so Isaiah 53 and 4 says this, surely he has borne our grief, sorrows, and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. We're talking about Jesus here. He said, give it to me. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to go through this on your own. Just give it to me. Hallelujah. He said, it's okay for you to be angry. It's okay for you to be shocked. It's okay for you to have guilt. It's okay for you to even go into a small depression. He said, but don't stay there. Once you get to that point, say, Lord, I'm not understanding, but one thing I do know, God, hallelujah, you said, you're able to commit those things that I've given up to you to that day. As long as I give it back to you, you can do it. You can take over. You can heal me. You can help me to understand what happened. And then what happened in your life, you'll see that stuff as far as the east is from the west. God has removed that thing from you. Now you're able to move on. Now you have joy again. Now you're able to walk in the things that God is telling you to do. Now you're able to, hallelujah, enjoy your life, have that abundant life that Christ had promised you. But you got to understand what's going on in your life. You got to get through the process. You got to let God heal your soul. You got to let God do this thing for his glory in your life, because everything God do in your life is simply for his glory. Hallelujah. It's not by our might or power, but it's by his spirit. And God said, I did this thing in your life, not to crush you, not to hurt you, not to destroy you. I did it that I may get the glory out of your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I know, hallelujah, what God does for you, hallelujah. The songwriter said, trouble don't last always, hallelujah. And this sorrow and this thing that you feel, you're not going to have that forever. If you give it to God, it's going to be short-lived. You're not going to have this forever, amen. But if you don't stop and deal with it, God can't do it, amen. And quick testimony, because you know I believe that we overcome him, the blood of the Lamb, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. My mother died about 6 years ago, and I was sick at the time, and I never really dealt with it. And that thing stood with me for years. I started having some type of panic attacks, which I know was not me. I started having all types of issues in my life, and then I just had to settle and call somebody and talk to somebody to get through it. I had to seek professional help for that thing. And once I had to do that and I talked to somebody and I got through it, God started to heal me. That whole process took a couple of years. Now, I lost my father in this December. But this time, since I understood grief, and grief was a good thing, and it was a way to get through it, I did, hallelujah, I went through the shock. I went through the guilt. I went through the, hallelujah, depression. I went through asking God why. And I did all of that. And once I got through it, hallelujah, I was a better person. What took me 3 or 4 years when I didn't grieve correctly, this time only took me maybe 4 or 5 months. Not even that long. It took me maybe 3 months to get through it because I allowed God to do what he does. I gave it to him. He knows. He's in touch with our feelings and our infirmities and our emotions. He knows who we are. He knows our soulish man. He came down from heaven and walked among the flesh. Hallelujah. So he knows what you're going through. He understands those soul hurts. Hallelujah. When those people left him, he understood all of that stuff. When Judas betrayed him, he understood all of that. That was sorrow and grief to him. Hallelujah. But he made us a way of escape. Hallelujah. He hung high on the cross and stretched out and shed his blood so we didn't have to go through that. He said, just give it to me. I see you through it. Amen. Let's look at Job. Hallelujah. Job. He's always the example to us of how to get through. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Job chapter 5. Turn over to 5 with me. Because now, when we were in chapter 2 with Job, he was grieved and sorrowful. But when we got to chapter 5, verse 8 through 18, it says this, I will seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who gives rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that are below, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hand cannot perform their enterprise. He takes the wise in their own craftiness and the counsel of the foolish in carrying headlong. They met with darkness in the daytime and groped in the noonday as in the night. But he saved the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor has hope, and iniquity stop her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects us. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of Almighty, for he makes sore and binds up. He binds up wounded, and his hand makes whole. Now we see in hallelujah, Job praised God. At first he was grieved. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. Everything he owned, he lost everything. He was sick, and at first he was grieved. But then he understood, I got to praise God. God can do this. God can fix this. God can step in. God can do this thing for me as long as I give it to him. I'm going to commit this thing to God because I know God's thoughts towards me are good and not evil, and I'm going to let him work this thing out in me. I know he did it for a purpose because I trust him, and I know he don't make mistakes. And what happened after that? Let's go over, hallelujah, to Job 42, 12 through 17. It said, so the Lord blessed the letter in of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karazakala. And in all the land where no woman found so far as his daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of life. And so Job got through that thing. He understood that grief wasn't going to stay with him forever. God blessed him exceedingly, abundantly, above all he could hope and think. He just had to get past the grieving stage and get to the glory of God being manifest in his life. And thousands of years later, we're still talking about the trial that Job went through. And that's what God wants to do in your life. God wants to get the glory out of your life. Hallelujah. I thank you all. Hallelujah. Our time is up. I know I want to go longer. Amen. But I thank God for you all being here with us on Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed the message, amen. And I want you to always remember this. It's the truth that makes you free. God bless you and have an awesome day.